RNZ Pacific, mālo tau ma opongi pongi ni. I'm Maria Tuile e Pateila with the news. Cook Islands tourism operators are busy preparing for a flurry of guests when the travel bubble with New Zealand reopens tomorrow. Cook Islands Tourism Industry Council President Liana Scott says it's a fluid situation with new COVID-19 safety measures also starting this week. She says many businesses have reached a breaking point and it's definitely time to open the border.
The declaration made by the Cook Island Prime Minister is that when we open, we stay open. Any outbreaks would be coming from New Zealand, and so that would mean that it would likely be out in the community. It is, of course, a concern, so a lot of our procedures at present are centred around Delta, and that would change as soon as we hear news about Omicron.
Liana Scott says the quarantine-free bubble is vital because tourism makes up 85% of the Cook Islands' GDP. Businesses in Fiji that fail to comply with the government's revised COVID-19 measures face hefty fines and will be forced to shut down. From Tuesday, businesses that do not conduct vaccination checks and ensure customers observe the 2 metre distance will be fined close to $500. Fiji's Trade and Commerce Minister, Faiz Koia, told a media conference that venues approved to operate under COVID-19 protocols can host events at 80% capacity.
A business that is issued one infringement notice could face double the fine or for the second notice together with a closure of business. This is actually a final warning to everyone that non-compliance will simply not be tolerated.
Faiz Koia says the authorities will not hesitate to fine people or shut down businesses, including hotels, if necessary. Prince Andrew has suffered a major legal blow in the United States and may have to face or settle a civil lawsuit in the United States over sexual assault allegations made against him by Virginia Giuffre. Ms. Giuffre says the Duke of York sexually abused her when she was a teenager. The prince's lawyers have now failed to persuade a U.S. judge to dismiss Ms. Giuffre's lawsuit. Defamation lawyer Mark Stevens told the BBC that it is now a crisis for the royal family, which cannot allow the case to linger on or go to court.
Of course, Prince Andrew has nowhere to go. He's effectively a dead man walking as far as the royal family is concerned. But the one thing he can do is to accept the responsibility, accept the blame, accept that he has to fall on his sword for the sake of the wider royal family.
The judge did not address the merits of Ms. Giuffre's case, which Prince Andrew denies. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has admitted attending a 10 Downing Street party at the height of the UK COVID lockdown in May 2020, but he says he thought it was a work event. He told Parliament today that he wished things had happened differently on that evening. The leader of the opposition party, Keir Starmer, is demanding the Prime Minister resign.
After months of deceit and deception, the pathetic spectacle of a man who's run out of road. His defence that he didn't realise he was at a party. It is so ridiculous that it's actually offensive to the British public.
A 4-hour meeting in Brussels today between NATO and Russia made no breakthrough over Ukraine. The US has again reiterated it will not agree to Russia's request to stop Ukraine from joining NATO. RNZ's correspondent Nick Harper reports.
The US says diplomacy is the only path forward, but warns that Washington and its NATO allies are preparing for every eventuality. Russia has asked for guarantees that would prevent Ukraine from joining the Western military alliance. US Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman again said that was a non-starter.
All countries must be able to choose their own foreign policy orientation, that sovereignty and territorial integrity are sacrosanct.
More than 100,000 Russian troops are massed on the border with Ukraine. With multiple meetings in Europe this week, Sherman hopes to avoid conflict and de-escalate tensions.
American Samoa's governor is reporting the preliminary unaudited financial figures for the territory in the 2021 fiscal year shows a surplus of between $8 million to $9 million US dollars. In his State of the Territory address to lawmakers this week, Le Manupeleti Monga says that once the financial numbers are audited and confirmed, the surplus money will be submitted to the whanau for reallocation as required by law. Le Manu explained that cost-saving efforts and strengthened collections has enabled the government to close the last financial year in a positive light. The Vanuatu Teachers Union has been thrown into disarray after the National Executive Council confirmed spending then terminating its President Willie Abiet and Secretary General David Narai. The union's National Executive Council has also given notice of a month-long national strike after dismissing its President and Secretary General. The National Executive Council has encouraged both men to challenge their terminations in court. The National Executive Council claims both men are linked to alleged misappropriations of members' funds, which they have denied. However, the Daily Post newspaper is reporting both union leaders are appealing to more than 1,600 teachers not to go on strike, saying the union's executive doesn't have the power to fire them. The union's executive says both leaders have already been replaced by new leaders. Nauru's President Lionel Ngumea has welcomed the UK's non-resident High Commissioner to Nauru at a virtual presentation of credentials today. Thomas Edward Coward is the new High Commissioner of Great Britain and Northern Ireland to Nauru and the Solomon Islands. President Ngumea says Nauru and the United Kingdom share an historical and enduring relationship spanning many decades. The Silver Ferns coach, Dame Nolene Taurua, concedes her inexperienced shooters haven't been tested at the top level, but she's confident the fearless rookies won't be overawed in the Quad Series, which starts this weekend in London. 27 test caps is all the shooters have between them, with 24 of those belonging to Maya Wilson. Grace Niweke and Tiana Metuarau have just three tests between them, while Phil Voy is in line for her debut.
Their shooting percentages have been really high, consistently high. They're going to the post, which is very good to be able to see that from a team perspective. So we'll see how we'll go, but it's not actually an area of concern that I'm worried about at the moment.
The Quad Series involves Australia, South Africa and England, with the Silver Ferns' first game against Australia on Sunday morning. Ross Taylor believes it will be a while before he is truly able to reflect on his test career for New Zealand. The 37-year-old batter's 112-test Red Bull career came to an end on Tuesday as the Black Caps wrapped up a comprehensive win in the second match against Bangladesh and Christchurch. Taylor admits it's still a bit strange to think he won't ever play another test.
I'm sure at the end of the summer it will probably dawn on me a little bit more. I was talking to the Bangladesh spin bowling coach Rangana Herath, and he said it took him a couple of years to reflect on his career and miss it. So I'm sure once I do finish, you know, it will probably hit me a little bit more then.
Meanwhile, the Black Caps fast bowler Kyle Jameson has climbed 8 places to a career best 3rd position in the World Test Bowling Rankings. He took 8 wickets in the 1-all series draw with Bangladesh, including 6 in the Black Caps' second test win in Christchurch. Jameson is the highest ranked Black Caps test bowler, with Tim Southey the next best in 7th. Australian captain and paceman Pat Cummins tops the list, with India spinner Ravi Ashwin second. And that's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, go to our website, rnzi.com.